We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
We are in Job 42. It's one of those kind of points where you're kind of excited. You know, you kind of finished off the book. You're also kind of sad we spent so much time in Job together over the year. So, Job 42, please, tonight. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemiah, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Habit. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days.
It's good to be back with you all. We will be in the book of Proverbs. You can go ahead and turn there. Or as my old pastor used to call it, the book of how not to be dumb. I think it was correct me up because if those of you who are familiar with the book, how not to be a dummy is a pretty accurate summary of the book's content. It's filled with very practical wisdom for how to live a godly life. We'll be looking at chapter 10 and verse 7. It says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word. I pray that you would speak to us through your word and that you'd help our ears to be open. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a very simple, straightforward proverb. In it, we have two categories of people, the righteous and the wicked. And very simply, a righteous person is somebody who does what's right, and a wicked person is somebody who does what's wrong. But what does that look like? And how does, in particular, how does Solomon in the book of Proverbs describe these two groups of people? Well, we don't have time to go through all of what he has to say about this, but we're going to look at a few select proverbs that describe these two categories. So if you turn with me over to Proverbs 14:15, we'll look at how these two groups of people approach God. 14:15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." And then in 21:24, it says, "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, acts with arrogant pride." Now turn over to 10:31-32. We'll look at how they speak, how these two groups of people use their words. It says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse." So how about their integrity? 12:5. "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." Now let's see how these two groups of people respond to being corrected when they're in the wrong. Turn back to 9:7-9. "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. But rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." So put all of these together, and you get a picture of a righteous man. This is a man who fears God, somebody who speaks truthful and edifying words, somebody who humbly accepts correction. And on the other side, we have this portrayal of a wicked, foolish person as someone who mocks God, speaks hurtful and dishonest words, and refuses to be corrected, and actually verbally abuses those who try to correct them. And we see through the book of Proverbs the fact that God is set against the wicked or foolish person. He hates him, he's actively working for his downfall, but he loves the righteous, wise person who chooses the path of wisdom. And it says that the righteous person, the memory of the righteous person, is blessed, or is a blessing, some translations say. What is a blessing? We throw that word around a lot, but I'm not sure we always have the clearest definition. A blessing is a gift of divine favor, which usually is manifested through in some physical or spiritual benefit to a person. And this proverb says that not only is the righteous wise man blessed by God, but God uses this person to bless other people even when they're not present. It says the memory of the righteous is blessed. The word translated memory just means mention. When this person is brought up in conversation, they're a blessing. A lot of times this word gets used in contexts where it's talking about holy war and how God is going to wipe out the mention of certain people groups like the Amalekites. There will be no more mention of them because they're going to be wiped out. Their memory will be kind of expunged. So God can use the legacy of a righteous person to bless others even after they're gone. Dr. Ronald McCune was the professor of systematic theology at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary for 20 years. I never met the man. He went to be with the Lord before I ever started at DBTS. But it's like he's still there. It's weird. Everywhere I go, when I was a student there, I talked to so many people that still talked about McCune, especially whenever we had pastors' conferences. I knew I was going to hear a few McCune stories. It's incredible to think about how many pastors got their theological education from this one guy and what kind of impact he's had, that people around the world are benefiting from having sat under this man's teaching and have benefited indirectly, whether they realize it or not, from this one guy. That's what God can do through one righteous life. On the other side, we have the wicked, who is remembered very differently. It says that the name of the wicked will rot. Rotting things stink. Anybody who's found a mouse that's been sitting for a while or walked up on some roadkill that's been baking in the sun knows the repulsive smell of rotting things. You want to get away from it as fast as you can. Not only do rotting things stink, they're in a state of deterioration. They're breaking down, and before long, they're gone. They're no longer there. So the name or reputation of a wicked person is repulsive, and it soon passes away. People are eager to forget the wicked man. I've seen both sides of this proverb played out in my own extended family. I have had the amazing benefit of having two godly grandfathers, both sides, not perfect men, but men who loved their families and loved God. And it's even more remarkable considering the fact that both of their dads were abusive alcoholics. I know very little about these men other than that, because the older generation was raised with, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, and they don't have anything nice to say. How sad is that? When my maternal grandfather would ask him questions about parenting, he would always say, I just did everything the opposite of the way my dad did, and it went pretty well. Just sad, and we all know how hard it is to do the right thing when you've never seen it modeled. They basically had to wing it. And it makes me really thankful for all the godly examples God's put in my life. How will we be remembered? This is a descriptive proverb. It doesn't tell you what to do, but there's a strong prescriptive element here. We want to be the righteous. We want to be in that group. We want to have a legacy that blesses people even after we're gone. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? Well, the simple answer is be a righteous person. Remember what we said about the character of the righteous. This is a person who is primarily concerned with pleasing God. That is their highest priority. They fear the Lord. They live a life of faithful obedience. They're not actually primarily concerned with leaving a legacy. That's not their number one thing. Their number one thing is pleasing God, and the legacy is something that God does through their example of faithful obedience. It's like a bonus. It's actually the wicked person who's the self-obsessed one, the one that wants everyone to be in awe of their greatness. Remember what the builders of the Tower of Babel said: come and let us make a name for ourselves. Wicked people want to leave a big impact on the world that will wow everyone. And they end up doing terrible things to make that happen. And yet, ironically, it doesn't work. Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. If you're mostly concerned with how other people interpret what you do, winning popularity points, you will inevitably do things that will stink to the next generation. America's sixth president, John Quincy Adams, was an ardent abolitionist at a time when abolitionism was not popular, had very little support. But he fought hard his entire career to try to get rid of slavery. And there were people that told him, "What are you doing? Nobody cares. Drop it." And he did not. He had this saying, "Duty is ours, the results are God's." And when he died, one of the people who attended his funeral, who's listed as one of the honorary pallbearers, was a young Abraham Lincoln, who did get the job done. But if John Quincy had been more worried about getting votes and scoring popularity points, he never would have left the kind of legacy that he did that ended up being a blessing to Lincoln and many others. This is a paradoxical truth. To be a blessing to future generations, you have to be willing to be considered a fool by your contemporaries. Those who seek worldly renown above all else often end up being remembered with disgust. And this paradoxical truth is embodied by our Lord. No one has had a greater impact on world history than Jesus of Nazareth. People around the world remember him routinely as we gather around the Lord's Supper and remember what he did for us. How did he get there? Not by trying to win people's approval by any means necessary. Satan tried to tempt him down that road, the road of glory without obedience. But he rejected that. And instead he said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Those who humble themselves will be exalted. So to sum up, righteous people are focused on glorifying God, on living a life which pleases him. God uses the lives of righteous people to bless others, sometimes long after they're gone. A wicked person is focused on glorifying self, on making everyone else impressed with their greatness. A wicked life, ironically, doesn't impress anyone. It's repulsive. Brothers and sisters, even after we pass from this earthly scene, our lives will have an impact on the world for good or evil. Let's choose the path of biblical wisdom that has the fear of the Lord as its starting point, knowing that that kind of righteous life has the potential to bless others for generations to come. Please pray with me. Lord God, help us not to be ensnared by the fear of man. Help us to fear you and seek to please you above all things. We want to be remembered well, but more than that, we want to bring you glory. Use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just thinking about our brother's message and short verse, but you know, you could spend some profitable time thinking, even right now, as we just close with an exhortation, thinking, how can God help me to be a man of good influence, a man of good legacy, a man who, well, not that you want to just be well spoken of by others, but that you want to be a help to them or a blessing, as we just sang here, and that your memory won't be the quickest thing they want to get rid of when they think of you. You know what I mean? That you would be an encouragement to other people, a blessing to them. I think of some of our missionary partners, and although we don't see them very often, I sometimes will send them a note. I just sent a note to Terry and Carol yesterday or Friday, I can't remember which now, and just to encourage them. They're working in a church plant there in Los Angeles, and I know some of the background of that situation, and not everything is just, you know, spot on perfect, if you know what I mean. This is a church work, and there's issues, and there's politics, and there's all this, but you know, I want it to be a blessing to them. Just encourage. Well, you can do the same to people in your life. Give them a good, you know, give a good word in season to him who is weary. Think about what you can do in raising your kids so that, you know, you won't be the like the great-great-great-grandfather or whatever that's like, you know, just kind of want to not say much about that person. You be the one that people remember. And I can testify to what Drew is saying about Dr. McCune. He'd be the last person to want to be talked about, I think, even from a pulpit. But it's just an example. We want to remember those who have gone before us in the Lord and that have been faithful. And he was just, you know, a quiet, faithful guy, came to class every day and was kind of, I think of him as kind of a no-nonsense teacher. I would see him walking from his home in Allen Park up the street to go into the seminary every morning if I got there a little bit early. And he would go over his notes a little bit and then come to class and let us have it. Systematic theology, the kingdom, Old Testament theology, apologetics, hermeneutics. And I really enjoyed having him and was sad that he kind of tapered down. And, well, he's spending more time in his home in Florida than he was up here in the cold weather of Detroit. But that was a blessing to have him as an instructor. So let's be like that. Let's be like the Lord, whose memory is blessed around his table and every time we meet together. Father, I pray that as each one leaves tonight, that and even if we're a young person here this evening, even very young, a child, we can think about how we want our life to count for Christ and how we want to live for him. Lord, would you work in us that each person here, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, will think about this wisdom that we have been given, and not to be, as Drew said to us, dummies. We don't want to be dumb. We want to be wise. We want to be faithful. We want to be true to you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.